Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
You know what they say, marry in haste, repent in Alcatraz.
We all need a serial killer name, just in case. You have to have one lined up.
Maybe not. Did she give her a gun? Because that's how you show love in Texas.
Yeah, where's the teeth in the bag? That's what we always say on this show.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome back to another episode of Lockdown Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yay.
We are joined this week by the fantastic acclaimed novelist Jane Fallon.
Yay!
Hi.
Hello.
We have one question. Can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Well, not really. I mean, like every other woman in the world, I've been flashed at a million times.
Yes,
But I have been with three people when they've been the victims of crimes, and I haven't noticed.
Oh, my God.
No. I have terrible, terrible powers of observation. So three very similar things when I was sitting opposite someone in a bar.
Wow.
They had something stolen. And one was a jacket, two were handbags off the back of their chair.
Gosh.
I must have been looking straight at the person that took them. I was completely...
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm not very good at solving crime. I'm just warning you that now. And the other reason I would be terrible at solving crime is because I'm also incredibly face blind. So actually, even if I'd have seen these people, they could have then walked up to me later holding the stolen handbag and I probably wouldn't recognize
them. Wow, you can't ID them.
No, I couldn't ID anyone. I mean, if it was a member of my family in the lineup, I'd struggle. And
well, so that makes it me feel like you're probably someone that just like really lives in the moment.
Yeah, I wish that was true. Like a dog.
Yeah. I love positively reframing. Yeah.
People think I'm standoffish. They often tell me when they get to know me. And it's because they pass me in the street and I don't say hello because I don't know that I know them.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And sometimes I go the other way and someone smiles at me and I'm like, hey. And they're kind of, what? Because they were just smiling to be polite and I'm acting like they must be my best friend because they said hello to me and I traumatised that I don't recognise their face.
Oh no, it's a hard line to tread if you know it's like, it could be someone you know and you're like, okay, it might be a stranger, it might be someone I know.
Yeah, I know. My way of dealing with it these days is just to smile inanely at everyone. Just so I'm now sort of the happy, slightly simple woman that walks around Hampstead just smiling at
people. And then you're like, it's covered, no one's offended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they might think I'm insane or slightly scary, but at least I'm not being rude.
Wow.
I wonder if you have a nickname that you don't know about, like the friendly woman of the heath that everyone talks about. The smiler. Here comes the smiler.
Sorry, smiler. That was my serial killer name, the smiling assassin.
Oh, that's quite good though. I like
we
that.
We all need one of those.
Yeah. We all need a serial killer name. Just in case. You have to have one lined up, I think, just in case.
Just in case. Just in your
just
back pocket.
In case we kill upwards of three people.
Yeah, not just the one, but like, I'm really going to go for it. I was just going to say, it must be better to know that you're a bad witness. Like, I don't know if your friends saw it that way, like they were pissed off that you didn't notice anything. But it's better to know that you're a bad witness than think you're a good one. Because I know people that think they have this amazing, like, I've got a photographic memory. And I'm like, you don't fucking, like, you have a horrible memory and no one will hear it. So I think you're in a better position.
I grew up above my family's shop. And something got stolen. We had one of those like newspaper stands at the front and it got stolen one night. And my brother decided that he was this amazing witness because his bedroom was at the front. And he gave the police this long description. But thinking back, it was the maddest. The man had like a huge nose, long curly hair, like practically a hump on his back. He was clearly just picking it up.
How old was your brother?
He was probably 12.
Okay.
Oh.
And he was so pleased with himself, but there was no way it was true.
Oh no, it was just like a Roald Dahl character. Yeah. It's like, so.
I love the idea you saw that exact man walking down the street though, like exactly. A few days later, and be like, oh, we really laid into him.
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah, we put him in a special school for liars. My God, Zarch. Oh man, I worry that my serial killer name would be like the Clumsy Killer. And like every single time it would be accidental and I'd just fall over. And I mean, it would be adorable, the Miranda of serial killers. But yeah, you want a cool one, don't you? The Smiler, that's great.
Yeah, that's
Hannah,
quite, that's
stop
quite
running
cheap.
Around with knives. It never works out.
So did anything come of these crimes? Was anyone like, were you called upon to do anything? Or did the police get called and they were just like, oh shit, like that's
yeah, the police were like, did you see anything? And I was just, no, nothing. Nothing. Looking straight at where it happened. 2 feet away at the most, nothing.
Oh,
no. After the first time, I remember thinking, I need to be much more. I can't let this happen. Yeah, it's terrible. Probably a couple of months later that it happened again. And
it's like, damn, I wasn't vigilant enough. Oh man, we always have to ask people, what would you say if you had the perp now?
What would I say? Well, see, these were quite small time crimes.
Right.
You know, stealing and bad. It's not, you're not killing anyone.
No.
I'd just say maybe next time, can you make yourself look a bit more distinctive? Maybe like a big curly moustache or something.
Or a humpback.
You might catch my eye. Loud clothes.
Give me a chance. Come on. Let me practice.
Or one of those t-shirts that says, like, I'm with stupid. That
would be great. Yes, I'm burgling this person with an arrow downwards.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing you at, like, a Darren Brown show. Where, like, he's distracting you, but there's a gorilla in the corner. But then when they reveal the gorilla, you'd be like, what? I love the idea that you're like, nothing. It's nothing. Not just because I want to piss off Darren Brown. That was the point of the story.
Underwhelmed.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now, I want to talk to you guys today about one of my favourite crime power couples. You know, Posh and Bex are great and all, but just not enough guns. We need some Bonnie and Clyde. And
that's a real dig on David. I mean, I know it's locked down, but I think he's still lifting, Katie.
Yeah,
come on.
He still works out.
You're right.
According to my calendar, my 2020 David Beckham calendar, he still looks good.
I was unkind. I take it back.
I love the idea of a 2020 when, like, he's just with his kids having soup.
Yeah. Making banana bread.
A 2020 calendar of any fucking buddy would be amazing. Just like their lockdown selves.
Also, I should tell you, I partly chose this case because the guy in this crime couple has probably one of my favourite crime nicknames. Would you like to guess the crime nickname? And I'll give you a clue. It incorporates his real name.
Oh, nice.
Do we know his real name? Are you going to give us any more information?
Oh, I can give you his real name and then you can...
I mean, that would help because otherwise yeah. we're like, Bob Basher. That's like, we'll actually, be here for days.
That's fair. That's a very good point. Okay,
Bob the Basher is my kid's favorite show.
His real name is George Kelly. How are you going to crime that up?
George the Forger.
Ooh. That's a nice. Really good crime nickname.
How about Hannah George Kelly? Because that's just my name.
The clumsy knife lady.
Do you want to add a little bit of gravitas to your name?
Yeah.
Is it Killer Kelly?
Okay.
Or is it Machine Gun Kelly? Just because I know there's a guy called Machine Gun Kelly.
Okay. Hey. Ding, ding, ding. Hannah George. His name is, his crime name is George Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Which, I mean, it's quite on the nose. You know what he gets up to.
I know that from It's So I Married an Ex-Murderer. They talk about Machine Gun Kelly in it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought he was like Ned Kelly. No, he's a different person.
Oh, no, yeah, that's...
And this isn't Kelly Rowland either. Who are we talking
about? So this is George Machine Gun Kelly, and he gets married to Catherine Kelly, and she doesn't have a nickname, which seems unfair. And actually, she's a better criminal than him, really.
Holds the machine gun while you have a piss, Kelly. Is her nickname. I bet she did a lot of stuff.
She's like just really nurturing. No.
Yeah.
You know, like when a Hollywood couple first get together and then like one's maybe older and a bit more established and then the other one's like younger and kind of seems a bit vulnerable and you think, oh no, that poor young thing is going to be like forced to become a Scientologist. I'm getting very specific. What I'm saying is Catherine is kind of Tom Cruise and George Machine Gun Kelly is kind of Katie Holmes. And I know that's like quite a dated reference and they broke up. But in lockdown, time is meaningless.
So, but she's the one with the power.
Yeah, I would say right. so. And you can judge for yourselves when I give you the rest of the information. So question, what crimes do you think they committed together?
Well, I would say someone shot someone with a machine gun.
Yes. Yes. There were bullets flying around. Yeah.
Multiple rapidly fired shots.
Yes.
Probably bank, like it feels like a bank heist kind of, okay. Hey, we're in this era, so we're going to take from the takers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it does feel like that. It feels like they're going to do something that is going to be quite sort of like quite dangerous and quite violent, but people are going to be like, it's old Machine Gun Kelly and that woman. Brilliant. Yeah.
That woman.
That's her nickname, that woman.
That one.
It's Mrs. Machine Gun Kelly.
Exactly. So yeah, you guys are all right. Well, but I'm going to elaborate because you didn't get everything. They did bootlegging. They did robbing banks and stuff. And they also did a bit of kidnapping. In Wikipedia, their occupation is gangster.
Nice.
And we are obviously in the Prohibition era here. They're operating in like the 1920s to the early 1930s. They met actually in the late 1920s. So I'm going to give you a little bit more information about Catherine first. She is born in Mississippi in 1904. Her parents get divorced. Her mum remarries in 1927. She was born Cleo, blah, blah, blah. She changed her name to Catherine. Question, how many husbands did Catherine have / get through before she married George Machine Gun Kelly?
Well, it's definitely more than one. Yes. She wouldn't be asking. Okay. Three and they all died mysteriously.
Ooh. I mean, do you guys want to answer? We are pretty much on the money here.
I think there was probably Pete Pistol, Tommy Tokarev, Rodney Rifle, and then she was like, I'm going for Machine Gun.
Big guns.
Yeah.
So
she's like,
yeah, big guns, going after the big guns. So yeah, I'm gonna, yeah, actually three, because that's all I could think of. That three different guns. So I'm gonna go with Jen.
I want all of that to be true. I want all of that
okay.
to be true.
Detective Fallon, yes. Three husbands. He is husband number
nice.
Four. Only the third husband is killed. She gets divorced. So the first husband, she marries at the age of 15. They have a kid, and then within 2 years, they're broken up. We never hear about this kid again in any of the sources. I'm not sure what happened to the kid. The second husband, they separated very soon afterwards in Texas, and then she moves back with her mother and stepfather. The third husband was a bootlegger called Charles Thorne, and after a quarrel, Thorne was found dead with a typed suicide note on his body. Question, why was this suspicious?
Did it say, I lived in her side because his name is Thorn.
Oh, on her side.
Was Jesus that a st- Christ.
I was trying to fit in with the British fucking humor. Excuse me for doing a play on words.
Was it because it was all written in the third person?
That's closer. That is a lot closer.
Yeah, it a typed suicide note, you know, from that era as well, when, like these days, you can't find a fucking pen in your house, can you? But in those days, like, a pen or a pencil would be the main thing you write with. So handwriting and shit is what I'm trying to say.
And he didn't have a typewriter.
Ooh.
This, again, very close. Any other guesses?
Was he illiterate?
Yes.
Oh.
He was illiterate, and his body was found with this typed suicide note that he could not possibly have written.
Oh, man.
Question, was Catherine convicted for murder?
No.
Correct.
I don't think she was. I think if Catherine's still knocking around later on with old machine gun, I don't think she was convicted of anything.
You are correct. My source said the judge looked past this and Catherine walked away. Whatever that means. I'm guessing it means she's smoking hot, but they actually, unusually for a historical source, they don't comment on how smoking hot she is.
But she gets away with murder
she
when there is like...
Literally, I mean, that must... She yeah. must have
define,
done that.
Alexa, define privilege.
Or she was really, really scary.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Imagine the judge was worried. Yeah. That, like, she knew where he lived. Yeah. It was going to get personal. It could
that
be.
That would be great. That would be great to be so fucking scary that yeah. the judge is just like, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. But no, so she is single and ready to mingle when George Machine Kelly comes along. And I'll just give you a little bit more info about him first as well. So he was born George Kelly Barnes, and he changed his name as well. They have so much in common. He's actually from a slightly more well-to-do family. He was born in 1895. A source said he was raised in a well-off Memphis household and even attended some college, but a sudden marriage led him to drop out of school, and then he got involved in bootlegging during the Prohibition. But this marriage was not to Catherine. And again, I don't know what happened there. I assume they're divorced, because by the early 1920s, he's travelling around with a girlfriend in tow. So there are gaps in my info. But he then changes his name to George R. Kelly, partly to protect his family because people are after him, and partly to evade the people that are after him. And he's doing small-time crimes. He's like bootlegging, but like not a big-time guy. And he finally gets arrested in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1928 for smuggling liqueur onto a... Native American reservation.
I love that you said liqueur.
Yeah. I should have said liquor, right?
Like liquor?
Yeah.
Liqueur is like creme de cassis. Well, not even, because we found out that's really alcoholic and I didn't realize that. Anyway,
yeah,
just adorable. It was adorable Wilkins. I just want you to know.
Oh, man. Is he convicted for smuggling this liqueur? Liqueur. Depending on how fancy you're feeling.
Maybe, I reckon in the courtroom he said liqueur and they're all like, oh my god, that's so cute. Yeah, no, it was the same judge and he was just like, let him off.
This dumb guy is adorable.
Just peach liqueur. I think he probably was.
You think he was prosecuted?
Brought up on charges, yeah.
Hannah thinks he was let off because he was cute and dumb like me. And,
your words, Katie.
I've decided I'm cute for some reason. Jane, any advance?
I think he was convicted and then somehow Catherine waltzes into his life and
I love the drama of that. You are half correct. He is convicted, but he is let out early because he's a model citizen inmate. So he is single and ready to mingle when Catherine does come along.
They sound like a nice couple so far.
I know, right? Their eyes meet across a crowded speakeasy. It's I actually don't know how they meet, but I don't.
Oh,
you can't rule it
out. All that build up.
Sorry. They get married straight away. You know what they say? Marry in haste, repent in Alcatraz. I'm coining a new phrase, thank you. So she was Catherine Thorne, now they are the Kellys. And as I've said, she is a much more experienced criminal than him. By this point, she's been bootlegging for days. She's got way more connections. She's Tom Cruise. So she buys him a present. Question, what does she buy him?
Machine gun.
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, she does. She buys him the machine gun that gives him his nickname.
Ooh, well, just as that, not something really embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Piles Cream Kelly. Which is a terrible present anyway, like, regardless of nicknames.
No. And she also, she makes him do target practice in the countryside. He's really not that into it, but she's like, no, you need to do this. She went to great lengths as well to familiarise his name with underground crime circles. It pays off. They do really well. They basically hit the big time. And they soon rob two banks, literally Bonnie and Clyde style. They're like running through the south, and word of like his fame spreads. So like word of George Machine Gun Kelly spreads all around. It's like this big, exciting, it's a big famous name.
So I guess she did it deliberately then, didn't she? She kind of was like, I can't be that notorious as a woman, possibly. And that's why she's like, I need to sort of get this name out there. But really she was the...
Yeah, she was the... The brains behind it. She's molded him.
Good girl.
She's his PR. PR Kelly.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I can't strike.
If it all went wrong, he'd take all the rap and she'd get away with it all the time.
I mean, yes, that is certainly an element. Yeah.
Just... Detective Fallon, you might not see faces, but you do see logic.
I'd be good going through the files.
Yeah. But obviously it's all going to go wrong. Like Icarus, they're going to fly too close to the sun and they plan an even bigger crime. Question, what was it?
Is it just a bank heist?
Was it robbing three banks?
Within 30 minutes.
Yeah, like the Three Peaks challenge.
Yeah.
The three banks challenge. You do it for charity, you make a bit of money, everyone's happy.
Is it like robbing a train or some big moving target?
These are all great guesses, but it is not that. It is kidnapping.
Oh, the kidnapping.
You did say they did kidnap.
Yeah, no, I did mention it. This is just a test to see if anyone... So in July 1933, they kidnapped a wealthy Oklahoma oil tycoon named Charles Urschel.
Wow.
And this became their undoing.
So it's more of a man... It was a man nap. It's always called kidnapping, isn't it? I've just realized that. They don't specify. It's not always children. I had a child in my head. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
But actually, you've got to respect the people that kidnap, like, fully grown oil tycoons. Because that's going to be a lot more hassle.
That takes some doing.
Yeah, they're a lot heavier.
Yeah, exactly.
They're covered in oil. They're very slick.
Very slippery, yeah. How are you going to even transport them?
I dropped them four times.
So this goes wrong, but it started quite well. So question, how much ransom do you think the Kellys demanded? And you can tell me in modern time money or their time money.
1933?
Yeah.
$200,000. No, that's too much, isn't it? That's a shit ton now, isn't it? $50,000.
Any other guesses?
No, I think it might be like around 100. I think they probably go for a good round number.
$100? That's
no, 100,000.
I love that they're just like, you know
cheapskates.
You'd be so pissed off as well, wouldn't you? Like the CEO of an oil company. And they'd be like, oh,
yeah, that's all I'm worth.
Yeah, that's what they think I've got.
I love it. They just do it to fuck with people's self-esteem.
The extra kick.
I think maybe, no, I'm going to go even higher. I'm going to go like 300,000.
Okay, well, Taylor's first guess that she discounted was exactly correct.
Damn it!
It was $200,000, which is $4 million
today. Totally misread your face. I was like, I'm so wrong.
I was like, ooh, because I was so excited. I was like, in my head, I was like, shall I say yes or shall I let the others guess?
$4 million, never. Though.
Yes, that so the equivalent like... of $4 million.
Crazy.
So they held Urschel at the farm of Catherine's mother and stepfather. And it's actually, I mean, that's nice, isn't it? Do something all the family can get involved with.
But yeah, nice family meal.
Yeah.
That's good. That's... The hostages can dry the dishes. It's just how it goes. Yeah.
Now, did they successfully obtain the $200,000?
Who were they asking for it? His wife?
You know what? Good question. I'm not sure. They must have been some kind of process and it was his company, and I think there was a fair bit of kidnapping around about this time. They weren't the only people trying this, so I think there was a bit of a precedent, but I'm not quite sure exactly what the channels would have been.
And the FBI is established by now, so
Or are they?
Right?
Well, we'll get to that.
We literally did a case about this and I can't remember when the FBI was established.
Well, they evolve around this point.
Right.
I think if they'd got the money, it would all end too quickly and too cleanly. So I think maybe not.
Okay.
Ooh, I think, wouldn't it be great if they kind of, the company or his wife, like, bartered with them and be like, 100,000?
I'll give you a fiver.
Negotiate down.
This is still going to be worth $1 million in 75 years. Take it.
So they did successfully obtain the $200,000.
Wow.
And surprised. It looked like they'd gotten away with it. They started spending it. They were living it large, but they were also on the run. So that's quite a crazy situation. So question, how long do you think they lived it up before they were found and arrested?
Well, it depends how much they were living it up. We used to go to this pub in King's Cross years ago, and the landlord was an ex-bank robber.
Oh, wow. He'd come
to a bank robbery, and he used to talk about it. And we were in there one night, and he said, never guess what? The old geezers are in here tonight. He was like, you wouldn't know it if you looked around. And I looked around the pub and there were these three blokes in like massive coats with their wives who were in big fur coats, jewels, hair, everything. I was like, is it them? He was like, oh, yeah. So if they were that subtle, then they probably got caught quite quickly.
I love the idea that they were the people. That was the night that all your friends got robbed as well. And you still didn't. But that's really interesting, that idea of, you know, the just people, living it up. And particularly in the 20s, when you can sort of like, you know, all of the glamour of the 20s, you'd think, I think that she's wearing loads of jewellery, maybe. He's got a nice bejewelled machine gun.
You think they're looking ostentatious? Drunk women solving crime.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so how long do you think they got away with their glitzy lifestyle before they got caught?
6 months.
Okay.
I think not even that.
Okay, so less than 6 months, Hannah George? Yeah.
I'd go a year, maybe.
Okay. Jane is the closest. 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Urschel, this kidnapped oil tycoon, was a bit cleverer than I'm picturing an oil tycoon to be, but I've got all my oil tycoon info from The Simpsons, so... I'm not giving him a fair chance. So he was blindfolded, but he had a couple of brain waves during his kidnapped time. Do you guys want to guess any of the clever things he did? Or shall I just tell you?
Did he? I mean, it'd be interesting if he had sort of like, it's a bit like with lockdown that you've actually got a little bit more time to think about things.
Yeah.
And maybe he hadn't had time to think. So his brain waves were kind of maybe to do with the future of oil and like some business ideas. I imagine it's how to get out of this farm, but maybe he had a nice idea for, I don't know, maybe he invented fidget spinners. That's where I'm going.
Okay. All right.
If he's on a farm and he's blindfolded, he's going to be using the power of sound, right? So he's going to be like, I hear 4 donkeys brain and 1 cow. Like, you'd have the time to count the number of animals, and that would narrow down
you
farms.
You are absolutely along the right lines. Yes, that's basically one of the things that he did.
Oh, see, I was going to say accents and things. Maybe he thought, well, that sounds like a Texas. That sounds like a woman from Texas to me.
Yes, yeah.
And a man from wherever George was from.
And also, don't they say that cows have regional accents as well? So maybe, I read that somewhere. It may well have been in The Onion or something, but I'm pretty sure that is a...
Can we please find a case where some cows' accents is what helped solve a crime?
Moo.
We need to find this in our lives.
I want the RP cow.
But yeah, basically, so he... listened. He made notes of a sort of evidence of his experience. He remembered, as you've said, background sounds. He counted footsteps and he left fingerprints on every surface that he could touch. So this case was investigated by the precursor to the FBI. So, fun question. Before the FBI was called the FBI, what was it called?
The F?
Close, but the opposite of that.
The USBI.
Even closer. It was just called the Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, okay. So, the BI.
They really shook it up by making it the Federal Bureau. They added that F. Big change. So, the not yet feds are closing in. And all the information that Urschel was able to give them proved invaluable. Agents concluded that Urschel had been held in Paradise, Texas, and based on the sounds that he'd remembered. So, maybe it was Cal's regional accents, actually, while he was being held hostage. And then they, like, basically, they've got this whole, I won't go into the details, but they got this information on where they're in residence and they're closing in. They do this raid.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
That's really cool. Just because I know that if I were blindfolded, I'd be so shit scared. Like, I would get nothing done. I don't know what would be going through my head, but none of it would be useful.
But also, you'd be counting footsteps, but you wouldn't know what there were footsteps between. So you'd just be going, there were 10 footsteps, but it'd mean nothing.
Yeah, but you're still in the middle of limbo. So, yeah, like, what does it mark?
My fear is red. Does that help?
Also, maybe he could have done, like, the other sense as well, like smell. Could he have, like, smelt the kind of the different animals or the someone's cologne?
Somebody's been to Texas.
So, yeah, he's got all this information. They've got, you know, there's informants. They're tracking them. They do this big raid. They're staying with friends, and there's this big raid on the house that they're in. And the raid is successful. And the Kellys and her mum and her stepfather are taken into custody by BI agents and Memphis police. Ooh, question. Who does Catherine love best, her mum or George?
Ooh, because I was going to ask, does her mum and stepfather, do they know that they're holding them hostage?
Oh, or
was
yeah,
that a secret? They're totally in
it. They're totally in it, okay. Yeah.
Her mum.
She loves her mum best, yeah?
Maybe not. Did she give her a gun? Because that's how you show love in Texas.
I think the stepdad.
She liked the stepdad best?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nice. I would also maybe say mum, just because she's had so many husbands up to this point, but she's only had one mum.
Yeah.
I think that says something.
Okay. You guys are right. She loved her mum the best because while they were on the run, she tried to broker a deal with an agent for a lenient sentence for herself and her mum in exchange for turning in George. But the deal never went through because they got caught before it got finalized. Like, their ranch is the kidnap site, so they're in deep as well. So, question, does everybody get convicted?
Well, I suppose if you heard four pairs of footprints or footsteps, then that means all four of them were involved in some way.
Someone, I think the mother gets off somehow.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so basically everyone gets convicted, but they don't all get the same sentence.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel like she's going to throw George under the bus a little bit in her testimony too, so who knows how she twists it. Like, he had us under a spell, like all the court cases from this era, like, he hypnotized us and we didn't know what was going on. We just thought it was a farmer. Like, I feel like he'll go down hard.
Yeah, okay.
Compared to the family.
Yeah.
Also, like you say, Mary and Haste go to Alcatraz in long or whatever it was. Whatever. I mean, it's not a great saying, Katie. I haven't remembered it, but... But, I mean, he ends up in Alcatraz, I am assuming, and also in So I Married an Ex-Murderer, where I get all my history from. It was a tour of Alcatraz that he was mentioned. So I imagine his, that feels like serious shit.
That's right.
George Kelly and Catherine Thorne, Catherine Kelly, were convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment. Aura, the mum, also gets life. Shannon, the
mum gets life?
Yes, but wait, let me finish. That Shannon, the stepdad, gets 25 years. But they do not all serve their sentences. So three of them.
They are very pro-life in Texas. I am throwing Texas under the bus. I love Texas. I mean, by that, I mean Austin. I love Austin. San Antonio is kind of cool, too. There's patches. I'm done.
Everyone's got ups and downs. Everyone got out early except George Machine Gun Kelly. He's got this reputation with the guns, and also for some reason he was bragging. They sent him originally to Leavenworth prison. He bragged that it couldn't hold him, and everyone was terrified of him, and so alarmed officials immediately shipped him to Alcatraz, and he arrived not long after Al Capone. And then he's in...
Was Alcatraz named after Al Capone?
I'm gonna say no.
Okay. It'd be great if that prison's first name was just Al. That'd be so lovely. Aww.
Mr. Catraz, we're gonna do a refurbishment. I hope you don't mind.
Mr. Catraz.
You guys shape us. But he is then he's a model inmate again. He is working in the office. He serves as an altar boy, according to one of my sources. And he gets this like quite mean nickname in there. They call him Pop Gun Kelly, which apparently is it's a big diss. And they said it was because he was telling like these big fish stories, which again I'm assuming is a diss. He like no one took him seriously.
Well, a pop gun is just like a little rubber thing that shoots. It's for kids.
Yes.
Okay. So they're downgrading his gun, which is like
okay, that's huge. Yeah, they're turning his nickname on its head.
I love how like bitchy these like Alcatraz guys are. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Right. That's true.
Alka, My Little Pony.
Yeah. Or something. High school really gets you prepped.
So, yeah, right. We're all ready for prison straight out of high school.
Oh, I can think of really mean nicknames. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, we call you Cutie Wilkins. Like, we're not going to do well in prison.
Actually, that's true. We're all fucked, guys.
That's your serial killer name, Cutie Wilkins.
Actually, that could be
my That's quite scary.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Also gives you away immediately. If that was the name the media gave you, it's like, no one knows who she is. And there's little Katie Wilkins running around like, no one knows.
Just being adorable. Because I've decided that's going to be one of my qualities, how I describe myself from now on.
I like how you can just decide you're adorable. Well, I'm adorable.
No one gets to decide their own adorability.
No, they do, because ironically, it's adorable. What you're doing now is adorable, so it works.
So, yeah, he's like, they mock him because he's exaggerated all his stuff, and they can see that he's actually a really, like, good boy inside prison, and he's a model prisoner, and he doesn't act like a brutal gangster, and they, like, realise that his wife and the FBI have made him out to be, like, this big thing that he just isn't.
But he was just a side character on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. I think that's
fair. Katie Holmes reference.
Bringing us home.
Bringing us home.
So he does 17 years in Alcatraz, and then they transfer him back out again, and he spends 4 years in Leavenworth, where he said he couldn't bust out from at the beginning. And then he dies.
Where's Leavenworth? Is that like a well-known prison?
Yeah.
Is that like San Francisco?
Is it Leavenworth?
Oh yeah, I probably am pronouncing it wrong. Actually, I think it might be Leavenworth. Actually,
he's having liqueurs in Leavenworth.
Yeah.
Parallel life.
I am the worst. I am the worst at this.
No, I love it.
I love it.
I feel stupid that I don't know a well-known prison. Leavenworth. Have I heard Leavenworth? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sounds like a bread.
Named after a guy called Lee Vevenwurst.
Yeah. He dies of a heart attack in prison in 1954 on his own
George.
59th birthday.
Oh, George.
Meanwhile, the stepdad gets released after just serving 11 years of his sentence, and he returns to the ranch, and he dies 12 years later. But he is still alive when this Machine Gun Kelly guy dies, and then no one claims the body. George Kelly's own family don't claim the body, so the stepdad takes him and buries him in the family plot. And then Catherine and her mum serve 25 years at this women's correctional establishment in Virginia, and they get released in 1958. And then they just go off and live in Oklahoma City. They change their names again. One of them gets...
Without the stepdad?
Without the stepdad. And I don't know if that's because he's died. Because he was in prison for 11 years and he lived for another 12. So that's 20...
He died like 2 years before they got out.
So he's died 2 years before... Yeah. So yeah, they've missed each other. And then...
And are they together?
Yeah.
Like they're like living together?
They properly are, the mum and daughter.
Mother
and
daughter
then
duo.
It's almost sweet, this bit. They live together. One of them's a bookkeeper. And one of them works in a nursing home. And then Aura, the mum, dies in 1980, aged 92.
Wow.
And then Catherine, aged 81, dies in 1985. So she only lives 5 years longer than her mum. And then they both get buried in Oklahoma City.
Hold on. Her mum was...
Well, her mum...
90 in 1980, and she was 80 in 1985.
Yeah.
I was trying to do that.
Yeah, hang on. I should have done this maths before I started drinking.
Or maybe started off with that fact about them in the beginning. So she was born when her mum was five.
No. If the mum is 92 in 1980.
Yeah. Oh, she could have been 15, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we'll see, because she's 15 when she has her kid. So
yeah, that's
the mum. And then common. So she's... God, this is like...
It's impossible.
I can't bear it. Let's just gloss over this.
They're definitely old ladies together, though.
Yeah, and like, they're obviously...
They're both so living true. Their best golden girls. So, whoops, we murdered, actually, but here
yeah.
we are
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the mum... I think lifestyle. The mum was 16. The mum must have been 16 when she had her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that adds up.
I still have no idea what happened to her kid, though. But anyway, that's the end of that, but I have a few fun...
Hopefully they'll write into us.
Yes.
My serial killer name is the Forgotten One.
Yeah. I've got to just, there's a few fun facts in this case. Mm-hmm. So the kidnapping of Urschel and the two trials that resulted were historic in several ways. They were the first federal criminal trials in the United States in which cameras were allowed.
Oh.
It was the first kidnapping trial after the passage of the Lindbergh Law, which I assume is about the Lindbergh baby?
Yeah.
The Lindbergh baby, yeah.
Yep, that's
yeah. Just testing everyone on that, on that bit of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad you got it. That would have been embarrassing had you never heard of that at all.
It's Lindenberg.
Yes, I did. I think I did say
Lindbergh.
Oh no, it says Lindbergh.
Lindbergh.
I've never said that out loud. Isn't it weird when you like find a word that you've read so much but you've never said it? I've never said that out loud.
Lindbergh.
Lindbergh.
Yeah. But that's when kidnapping became a federal crime.
And yes.
It was the first major case solved by the FBI because they became the FBI then. And
wow.
It was also, this is so random. It was the first prosecution in which the defendants were transported by airplane.
Fair enough.
Why not?
Where did they go? I guess to Alcatraz.
Yeah, I don't know. I think from state to state because they got moved around a bit. Because it was quite a big... I've glossed over a lot of the drama of the trial. I was just trying to...
Well, because they'd have to... So there's charges in Texas, so they're getting...
And they were
the
all
trials in Texas, right?
Yeah, they were all over the South, and then they...
So they're having a sweet flight from, the West Coast of Texas.
And then, of course, like, he didn't actually go straight to Alcatraz. I love that he went to that other prison first, and it's just like, get out of this.
I know.
And then went back there and didn't.
Yeah! Well, he did. He got taken out in a body bag, I guess. But, just before he dies.
But also, I love the idea of bragging, like... I'm going to get out of here when my sentence is up.
I do love that in the outside he's Machine Gun Kelly and in the inside he's like Milhouse he's just this too, like this goody two shoes.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's how you've told the story, but I have this weird affinity for George. maybe because you made him Katie Holmes, like from the beginning I was like, oh, Katie. I just feel like he got bullied into crime because he loved this woman, and then he's like, all I can do in prison is brag. I gotta make myself the big man. He's very Milhouse.
Yeah, it feels sad
because at no point does he use the machine gun, right? I mean, maybe he had it in the bank robbery, but he doesn't use it in the kidnap, from what I could tell.
He doesn't get charged with murder as far as I found in my research.
No. So he should be called like Footsteps Kelly, because that's basically all he bought. But that's not as cool, is it? That's pretty boring.
We solved it. Cheers.
Hey, cheers, everybody.
Yes, we did.
Cheers. Drunk women solving
crime. We do have time to talk about a listener crime. Which was sent into us from a guy. We haven't had a guy for ages, but men do listen to the podcast. So this guy uses a bike to get around London and had recently had an accident which fucked up their shoulder and they lost teeth and someone stole the bike. from the scene of the crime. So like just like terrible day for this guy. They're keeping anonymous, but then they say there was good news on the bike front. I found my stolen one on eBay. I reported it, but the police couldn't do anything, so I had to pretend to buy it, go and collect it from the guy who stole it and ask for a test drive and then steal it back. I left him my bag as collateral, but it just had a brick in it with a note attached, and the note on this brick says, go back to crime school. Which is such an amazing diss, and I would say this sounds made up, but this person has sent us a photo of the backpack with this brick with a note on the brick saying go back to crime school. Like,
that's so cool.
I don't know if we're allowed to share it if they're being anonymous. So he, and like also he says that he met them in the car park of an Asda, so there's CCTV footage, and he's got his name, mobile number, address, WhatsApp photo. But I don't know.
I'm not being funny. They don't just make one of every bike. Don't a lot of bikes look alike?
Do you know what? I am worried as well that this is just someone trying to sell a bike. And like
they've been
really fucked over and they're completely innocent as well.
Going to have to do it to him. They're going to have to wait till he sells it and then they're going to have to sneakily buy it. Yes. Leave him a note.
And it just goes on and on.
They think that the note in the backpack was to himself, like, go back to crime school. But you can finish. You can do it this time. He's done the thing that I've had 2.5 bikes stolen in London. So 2 full bikes and then some parts. And then I learned.
Oh, I thought you meant like a child's bike. I was like, that's like your little family. Like everyone's had one stolen.
No, just like, the wheels are gone. That's kind of a problem. And I tried to do, I wanted to be this guy. I was like, I'm going to be the vigilante. And like, I went to Brick Lane where they sell the stolen bikes. But there was not, my bike was like a very distinct color, the one I was looking for. And I just walked along and I just did this like intense eye contact with the guy. I'm like, yeah, it's not here, but it could be. It was so lame. And then I got a bagel and I went home. A nice day out. Nice. So I like that this guy achieved
this guy did a lot of people's dream. Like,
yeah,
this is very like wish fulfilling. Like, he must have had so much closure.
That's so cool as well. And like, I like the idea that he went to like a hardware store for the brick, because no one just has a brick hanging around. There is a lot of planning.
Oh, that's true.
I'm gonna,
or did he steal
awesome.
The brick from like a building site or something, or he just like got a hammer to his own front wall and just was like, I just need a brick.
And he just thought, so the guy won't look in the bag just to see that there's something valuable in here that's worth me holding on to.
Yeah.
He just trusted that he'd just hand in the bag with a brick and the guy would go, fine.
Oh, such a risk, isn't it?
That's true as well. Like, that could have not gone to plan.
You'd never do this as a woman.
Do you know what? Actually, like, I'm sure I might have told this story before at the very, very beginning of the podcast, but I had my bike stolen on the Isle of Wight where I sort of come from. And
there's just the one bike, Hannah.
It was your turn was over, Hannah.
Yeah, it used to. I was very much the village bike. No, I wasn't. But so my bike was stolen, and then and to be fair, I had not noticed because I did not go cycling much. But I saw this guy like riding my bike, and it was a very specific bike, and I knew it was mine because on the seat it had grown mold, and so I was like, okay, yeah, this is my horrible dingy bike. And I confronted him. Like, it was in the middle of town in Ventnor. And I always think, like, he'd stolen it maybe a couple of weeks before, and he was still cycling around the tiny little town that we obviously both lived in. But he was, like, in his 40s, and he was about 6 foot something, and I just said, where'd you get that bike? And he was like, I bought it at a boot sale. And I was like, it's my bike. And my voice was, like, shaking. And he was just like, oh, have it back. And so I just took it, and that's how I really knew it was my bike, because he was so quick to go, like,
yes.
And then I, like, rode it home, and I felt like... There's a bit at the end of... Do you ever see Goodnight, Mr. Tom, the John Thor adaptation?
Oh, I haven't.
There's just a bit where the kid at the end... sure, he's letting go of the grief of one of his friends dying in the war, but he was cycling down a hill and he was like, whoa! And that was me. It's a very niche reference, but...
But the people that got it are going to love it.
Yeah, you know I'm a fan of niche references. It's very good. Oh my God. But still, that's it, at least you're in public. It's like, would you ever go to a man's
like
house?
Asda car park.
From eBay. No. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't even go to the car park. I'm such a coward. I'm just such a baby. I'd be like, no, have the bike, have the bike. I'll phone the insurance people. Yeah, terrible. But I could see them walking away with it and I'd be like,
right. It's too late.
Have a nice time.
it's such a like brutal London story too. Like he's literally lost his teeth and it's just so like you're never more vulnerable.
What
like
do you think he put a tooth in the bag, a blood covered tooth in the bag? That would have been gross.
That
on top of the
brain. Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, the Smiler has some better ideas. I like it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Now that is more dramatic. This is great too, but like, where's the bloody teeth? Come on.
Yeah, where's the teeth in the bag? That's what we always say on this show. Like, if you're going to avenge something, pop a few teeth in the bag.
Well, and if your teeth have been knocked out, do something useful with them. I mean, you don't want to just put them in the bin, do you? You want to like make points with those teeth.
Yes, definitely.
Exactly. Or maybe
we're
a rather...
here to give advice. So. Go back to crime school.
Wow, we don't even need to solve that because that bow tied itself. So we have just enough time to ask the fantastic Jane Fallon, what are you up to?
Well, I've got a new book coming out in three weeks, I think, July the 9th. Yeah, which is very exciting. It was originally coming out at the beginning of lockdown and then everything went crazy and all the books were stuck in the warehouse and couldn't get out.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's coming out with almost every other book in the universe on July the 9th.
They were all
it's called Queen Bee.
Queen Bee.
Queen Bee, yeah. And it's a novel, obviously. And it's about a woman who she's going through a kind of messy divorce and she needs somewhere to live very quickly. So she rents a tiny little studio in a very, very, very posh house in a very, very, very posh close of houses in North London. And she comes up against the kind of queen, self-appointed queen bee of the close.
Ooh. Who's this absolute kind of town. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That sounds really, so July 9th.
July the 9th, yeah. And I've just started writing my next one. So I'm kind of doing that.
Cool.
Sporadically.
Yeah, yeah. That just sounds right up my street as well.
I feel like I've met a lot of those people around here that live in that close.
Is this your vengeance? Like you're not going to chase them to an Asda car park, but you can satirise them in a book.
Exactly. Yeah. Next time they get in my way in Hampstead High Street, I'm going to write that down. Make a note of what they were wearing.
The writer's revenge.
It's the best revenge there is.
The Smiler has a notebook. Run.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jane Fallon. This has been so much fun. And thank you for listening. And if you liked it, leave us a review and tell us your crimes. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcast as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.